Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adusk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Lots of exciting things happening today. They managed to hit gold and silver once again today. Bloody day in the markets. But today is September 12th, 2013. It's Thursday. And before we get to all the news in today's markets, we will spend 20 minutes today with Wendy Wilson with Apothecary Herbs. Lots of great information there. But first, let's get right into the markets today. And once again, thank you for joining us. Make sure you stay tuned. We got a lot of things to talk about today. Gold, they hit it in the last, the last hour of trade, down $42 at $13.24. You have silver down $1.36, almost 6% for silver today, 21. I got to double check to make sure my eyes are seeing this right. This just happened at the very end of trade today. 21.99. You have platinum down $34 at $14.43. That's $1,443, along with palladium down two at $694. Couldn't have been the USDX. That's only up 0.01 today at 81.51, along with crude oil. That was up $1 today. So it doesn't seem that these numbers for gold and silver really match any other numbers that are coming out. Stocks were a little bit lower today, breaking a seven-day winning streak. Woohoo! On the S&P, the Dow was down 25 points at 15,300, along with the NASDAQ down 9 points today at 37.15, S&P down 5. At 1683, and you have the 10-year yield, 2.91%. So that's just down 0.01. So there really wasn't anything yet. Jobless claims falling to a 7-year low, but those numbers are really distorted. So I can't imagine that having that type of an impact. Of course, again, that relates to pulling back the quantitative easing now, thinking that jobless claims are falling to a seven-year low, but there's distortions in that number. And we'll talk about those distortions after the break, so the listeners have to stay tuned. That number is going to change, and it will change big when they do the revisions for last week. So, hi, Al.
Hi, Melody.
So, yeah.
Interesting day in the market.
Very interesting day in the market. A lot of people took advantage of the lower prices, and people are getting used to these big moves in gold and silver. And when they do, man, they finally act, and they do something about it, and that is a good thing. That's what you need to do. But first, before we talk about the jobless claims and many, many other things today, Wendy Wilson is joining us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Yeah. Wendy, does Wendy have a mute button like yours, Melody? Huh? Or has somebody put me on mute?
No, I'm still here. Well, maybe she's just not. Well, let's just go ahead and we'll talk about this jobless claims until we get her on the line. I know there's been some pretty strong storms going through the northeast, and power has certainly been out, so we'll just wait to see if she joins us here in just a little bit. But let's talk about the jobless claims until she gets on. They showed the first-time benefit claims. Is she there now?
Nope. I'm here, though.
Are you?
Uh-huh.
Hi, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Hey, let's get going.
Shall we play the bumper music again? Frank, you want to run the bumper music one more time?
No.
Hello. Can anybody hear me?
Hi, there's Wendy.
No. Hello.
Yeah, we hear you, Wendy. We hear you.
Oh, okay, finally. I don't. Maybe I had my mute button on. I'm so sorry.
No, I don't think that was that, but let's get started right away.
See, the thing about those mute buttons, they don't put those on microphones for women. They only put them on men. Maybe we men understand that there's times when we shouldn't be talking, but a female, if you get one of the headphones in pink, get the pink headphones, no mute button. All right, what else have we got?
What do you got for us today, Wendy?
Oh, well, I think one of the listeners wrote in and wanted to know about the difference between Golden Seal and Echinacea, and the difference, I guess, between would a tea or capsule or tincture be better? I believe that's what you sent over from a listener. And basically, there is a difference. Your Golden Seal typically is really good for bacterial types of infections, but your echinacea root is typically best to use to heighten immune system function. Now, you can use both of them together if you'd like, and they'll support each other fine. But with regards to tea or capsules, your tea is going to be your weakest formulation. It's called an infusion. And your capsules and your tablets will be a little bit more potent, obviously a little more convenient to use, less time involved to make. But if you really want a professional strength dose, then I would move to the tinctures, because they're the aged concentrates, and they'll have more potency than either your capsules or tablets or your tea. It's kind of like that Special K commercial. Do you remember that, Al, Melanie, with the one bowl of Special K and all these bowls of shredded wheat? That's kind of difference. It's kind of like the difference between a tincture and extract and the other forms of herbs. So
I never thought that one bowl of Special K was as good as half a dozen bowls of sugar pops, though. I always thought sugar pops are tops. You know, that was my opinion. In any case, what else do we have, though?
Well, what do you want me to take? We're going to
I have questions. If you don't have something you want to present,
well, I've always got something. But if you have something that you're dying to say, go right ahead.
No, if I'm really dying to say it, I'll say it.
Okay.
You know, you can hear me just go, oh my God, he died because he had something to say. Now I'll jump in and say it, but I'm not dying to say it. I just kind of a casual interest.
Let's just say something.
Okay, how about probiotics are linked to reduced risk of allergies, psoriasis, colitis, periodontal disease, and more. The root of many health problems is related to an imbalance of intestinal bacteria.
Right.
This foundation of good health is laid even while in utero. And they go on and they explain the importance of taking probiotics in order to stimulate the flora in your digestive system, your intestines and so on, and this contributes to your immunity, your capacity for immunities, and I suppose it parallels what you were just telling us about echinacea. And
do you have a comment on
probiotics? Did you like to?
Sure, probiotics. It's just like anything else. You know, the type of probiotic and the company that makes them is going to be a huge difference between one product and the other. So you really have to do your research on the forms of bacteria they're using in the probiotic, because some people may not need the same combination as somebody else. And we have 400 gut floras, Al. So there's no way you're going to get, you know, you're not going to get that kind of balance in a probiotic. So the best we can do is to get some sort of symmetry or balance with the floras. So, you know, do your homework on those floras, those bacterias. And if you are to choose one, I would definitely get one that's more, some products are refrigerated. And so I would pick the ones that tend to be in the health food stores or your health food market that are in the refrigerated section. And then when you get home, you stick it in your fridge and you take it out as needed. And basically what goes for our probiotics can also help our pets, because, you know, so many pets are on antibiotics and they get their floras out of whack. And so they need a little probiotic help too. But, you know, over-the-counter drugs and antibiotics are definitely going to disrupt our balance. And when we don't have the right floras, what happens is we have trouble digesting foods and assimilating proteins, because the job of the floras is to help us with the digestive enzymes to help us break down foods, for one, and convert them, like the protein foods, to amino acids, so that the cells can tap into the power of that and use it for energy. So people with chronic fatigue typically have floras that are definitely out of whack.
Is there a difference between digestive enzymes and probiotics?
Yeah, there can be. There can be. Digestive enzymes, hydrochloric acids, for instance, can be part of your digestive enzymes, whereas your probiotics can be more of a bacterial thing. So you're looking at bacteria and enzymatic acids.
All right. That's interesting. And, again, this is something that you sell?
No, we don't have any probiotics. but we do have some. The all-in-one product's really good for improving digestion, but it goes along on a digestive enzyme type of setup, so it's a little different than your probiotics. And we do have some single-cell plant proteins that are really easy for the digestive system to digest and absorb. So they're in the system really quickly, so that's a little easier. If you're having trouble, you know, processing proteins, then you'll want to tap into the plant power proteins, because those are easier to digest and assimilate. There's some options out there. Just do your homework, folks, and then, you know, do your homework on the products manufacturing, too. We do have a helpful download, Al, on our website under the About Us page, which kind of is a cheat sheet for those evaluating products out there, supplements and whatever. It really helps you tap into the idea of the manufacturing process. And when these products go through a manufacturing process, it can be the difference between night and day on potency and the product quality.
Well, then, even within... Well, you're recommending first, if we're going to do probiotics, that we should get something that's refrigerated.
Right.
That would be a sign that the product is probably more digestible, more accessible. If it's just a pill and it'll store at any temperature, it's probably not as active as it might be if it's stored refrigerated.
More importantly, it's going to be organic. It's not going to be a synthetic probiotic.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. All right. I get that. I think that's all right. Good advice. What do you think about Fukushima? We have radiation that's one estimate I saw lately where someone is guesstimating that within the next 2 or 3 years, the entire Pacific Ocean, not just the North Pacific, but perhaps all the way down into the South Pole, may be radioactive within the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I know. I've heard.
Now, I don't know how radioactive, but, you know, I mean, is it a trace? Is it significant?
Probably.
And in any case, what can we do about that? Are there things we can take that will minimize our exposure to this problem? And how serious is the problem? And if it is serious, are there things we can take to help us?
Well, I'm sure there is a threat there. The level of threat, it's really hard to get a handle on that because we're getting so much, you know, different, you know, scientific evidence and reports on that. What I take away from that, whether it's severe, chronic, or whatever, is there is a threat existing. So to be on the safe side, especially if you live on the West Coast, real close to all that, Alaska, especially California, they'll hand out the pills out there to protect your thyroid from radiation sickness. But I typically rely on natural iodine instead of an iodide tablet. So you're going to find the highest concentration of natural iodine in black walnut, and this helps the thyroid gland because it is a food for the thyroid gland. Exactly. See, what your thyroid does with natural iodine is it makes a solution that it sends out to your cells while you sleep at night. And it bathes all the cells, especially the mitochondria of your cell. And it's sort of like an enzymatic energy bath. It's almost like, you know, you take a rechargeable battery and you plug it into the wall. So your mitochondria becomes recharged or re-energized. And this is why people that have a thyroid that's malfunctioning is they get tired and they have to take a nap during the day because their cells aren't getting this, you know, enzymatic bath of the natural iodine. So that's important.
I thought that was just caused by work.
Yeah.
I thought that was caused by having a regular job. That's what made people want to take a nap.
Yeah. So you could do that. And so you'll find that that's very helpful. And there's a lot of things you can do. There's vitamin B17 that's also good in alfalfa, which is also a protective food from radiation. So you can take that. That's in our body food mix, by the way. We put alfalfa in there. So there's some things that you can do without having to resort to artificial synthetic stuff.
If people have problems, these kinds of problems, I'm going to presume that they can reach you at the powerherbs.com, and I'm not even sure. Is that the correct? Am I saying that correctly?
Thepowerherbs.com? Yep, that's
yeah.
It.
Okay.
And they can also call
they can
toll
reach
free.
You, and you can even help them to decide what kind of solution might be appropriate for their problem. Is that true?
Well, you know, I can't give, you know, medical advice. That would be wrong. But I can say what I would do if I were them. So
I understand that.
Yep. So
I can't give legal advice either. That would be wrong, but I can say what I would do if I were in the same situation.
Absolutely.
And I've done it.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of these, you know,
yeah.
It's the world is so crazy. You know, if you're completely ignorant, you're in big trouble. If you're not ignorant, you can deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a question of putting the right emphasis on the proper syllable, and all of a sudden you're good to go. And if you don't do that, you may have the government breathing down your neck. It's bizarre. We've got, what have we got left here? Just a little over a minute.
Right.
Why don't you give us tell us a little more about thepowerherbs.com and 800 number and whatever.
Absolutely. I mean, you and Melody have such great information, and I can encourage your listeners to tap into that on a weekly basis. If they can't tune into the radio, they can definitely check their email if they subscribe to the American Survival Newsletter, because you and Melody and myself and some other folks like Dr. Carly, Ty Bollinger is going to be back next month, he says. He's our Cancer Truth Chronicles guy. So lots of great information in this free newsletter called the American Survival Newsletter, and you can sign up free either on Melanie's website at Discount Gold and Silver or at thepowerherbs.com. Just click on the newsletter tab and sign up there. And if they need a catalog on herbs, we have one to send out free of charge. They just call us toll-free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And we have a catalog hotline number they can leave their information on, or they can talk to someone live, their choice.
All right. Thank you, Wendy. We'll look forward to talking to you again on Thursday of next week.
Okay. Thank you, Melody. Thank you.
All righty, Wendy. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom, and we're going to take a break for some commercial announcements, and we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. The program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs.
Everything is a special today. And, of course, the greatest special is you can win a free Mint State 62 $10 Liberty gold piece, and a second prize is a tube of 20 1 ounce silver eagles. At the end of the month, for every completed trade for the month of September, your name will go into a drawing, and we'll be giving that away free on October 1st. And we might just do this for the rest of the year. You know, we offer Robert Chapman on this program for many years always mentioned about giving back, and this is way we give back for all the support from our listeners when they purchase with gold and silver. It keeps us on the air. It keeps about four other programs on the air also. So the funds are certainly used in a way to educate people, to help them understand what's going on and how they can protect themselves, not only with food, water storage, and food supplies, but also financially. And now we had Murray wrote in. He says, gold and silver are not down. This is merely paper trading by the bankers in collusion with the government. And it's true. We have a tendency to say gold and silver is down, but hey, folks, it isn't. This nonsense will stop when the supply has been exhausted. And he says, call discount gold and silver and keep stacking. Keep stacking those coins, folks.
I agree. I agree. The day is going to come when everyone's going to be delighted who has gold and silver, and those who don't are going to be in big trouble. You know, again, we've harped on this for years, the idea that the debt is too great to ever be repaid. Point one. Point two, one man's debt is another man's asset. Point three, if it turns out the debts can't be repaid, it means the assets cease to have value. When that happens, the paper wealth of the world disappears. And what is left is whoever is holding real, tangible wealth, not pieces of paper. Those of you that are holding something that has intrinsic value, you'll be in a position to perhaps prosper, even dramatically prosper, during difficult times. Those of you who have bet your life on pieces of paper are going to find yourself in a position analogous to being on the Titanic when it sank and discovering that your lifeboat is made out of paper. It's not a good idea to be in a paper lifeboat. Right? It just isn't likely to work well for you. You might get lucky. You might have a paper lifeboat that'll work in your particular case, but for the vast majority of people, paper lifeboats will be self-destructive. So,
and you know, Al, I understand. I understand where a lot of folks are coming from. And I remember a lady told me lately, she says, you know, the stock market dropped to 6,000. We were losing. It's come back. My retirement is better now. I'm making more money now than I ever did on my retirement. And I'm comfortable. And I just want it to stay the same. I'm comfortable. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to think. It's working, so leave it alone. Don't talk to me about how bad the economy is. Don't talk to me about gold going up. Don't talk to me about the problems this nation faces. And what they don't understand is it's fine. I get that. I understand you get into this happy place. But you know what, folks? It's not going to stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
It will never stay the same, not when you have a system that is based on illusion. It can't and it won't stay the same. And yes, we thought there were many reports and where our currency was going to be revalued, devalued back in 2010, and we came really close. It didn't happen. That shouldn't keep you from thinking that the system is better than it is today than it was then. Because you know what? It isn't. I mean, what part don't people understand? $85 billion a month. And I don't care if he tapers off by $10 billion or $20 billion or $25 billion. The numbers are beyond for most people to understand. And now they just believe that, and maybe
people
they
are frightened on one level, and that's
they should be.
If they can find a place that feels comfortable, that's where they're going to go.
Yeah.
And I understand that that's the nature, but it's not an adequate excuse. It's like hunkering down, running. You know, if the ship is going underwater, bow first. It's kind of like running to the stern and thinking you'll be safe on the end of the ship. That's the last part to go down. Look, it's going down. I guarantee it's attached to the bow. If the bow's going under, so's the stern. All right? It's human nature to run to grab for that straw if you can, but there are intelligent reasons to look at circumstances and sit back and make intelligent decisions. And the decisions aren't necessarily what's best for tomorrow or a week from now or a month from now. But you can see what's almost certainly best for a year from now and for 3 years from now and so on. And everything I've been able to learn indicates that the people who really acquire significant wealth in this country do so on the basis of taking a long-term view. They don't do what's necessarily best for tomorrow. Their fundamental incentive is to do what's best for several years from now. And the longer you can project into the future, it seems to me that that ability, that inclination, is characteristic of people that have the most wealth. If you're only thinking about right now, you're not going to have much wealth. If you're thinking about a week from now, you might have a little wealth. If you think about a month from now, you have a little more. A year from now, now we're beginning to have maybe a little bit of wealth, so it might be significant. Talking about 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. Some people think in terms of generations. They are accumulating their wealth on the basis of not even what it will do for them, but what will it do for their grandchildren. These are people in a position to make good choices. It doesn't guarantee that you absolutely make the best choice, but if you look, you study, you think, and you take a long-term view, the probability is increased that you will succeed and be prosperous. And
you know, Al, it's also the internet. People have really got to be confused. I mean, I can't tell you how many emails I get on a daily basis that wants me to subscribe to some sort of newsletter, some sort of investment, guarantee me, you know, 20%, 30%, 100%, 500% if I get involved in this share or in this investment, and I mean, all kinds of things. It's really incredible. So I don't get confused because I understand. But for a lot of folks who don't understand, they could get very confused. They end up chasing the yields. And that's one thing we don't do when you're making an investment. You don't want to chase after these. And anybody who makes promises of these gains, most likely it's going to be a scam. I'm dealing with somebody right now involving the Iraqi dinar. And you can't tell them that, you know, hey, I've been dealing with people for a long time about the Iraqi dinar, and it doesn't hold
true. The Iraqi
true.
Or the Iranian?
Iraqi. The Iraqi dinar. And, you know, you can't put your finances in promises. I mean, that's
not
a problem.
Everybody does. People tend to do that, but... And it seems to be sensible in part because everyone is doing it. It's hard to communicate the idea to people that, look, this is a bad idea. And they say, yeah, but everybody's doing it. How could it be bad?
And when everybody's doing it, that's when you don't want to do it.
Generally, that's the whole idea behind investing, and we've said it a number of times. You buy low, you sell high. That's how you make a profit. And by definition, if you buy low, you buy when nobody else wants it. That's why the price is low. If you sell high, you're selling when everybody else wants it. It's the time to sell. When everybody wants it, that's the time to bail. When nobody wants it, that's the time to buy. You know, within limits, there are some things that nobody wants and they never will want, but, you know. There are other investments that make sense. You can look down and say, everybody says this is worthless right now. And gee, I think I'll buy it because I think it has to go up.
And then people get confused by government reports. And today we were talking about the U.S. jobless claims. They fall. And the number of U.S. workers applying for jobless benefits fell and decreased by 31,000 to a seasonally adjusted 292,000 in the week ending September 7th. And that was reported by the Labor Department today. And that was the lowest level of claims since April of 2006. Everybody sort of forecasted that the figure would be about 330,000 claims. The prior week's level was unrevised at 323,000. But they don't talk about two states that failed to report all of their claims as they were transitioning to a new computer system, and that the applications either weren't working, they weren't received, or they didn't get processed. They didn't also talk about, and they never do, very rarely, it was a four-day week. You had the Labor Day in there. So instead of 5 days of applications, you're only dealing with four. And how long is this computer problem transition? How many weeks will that take until they start? So you're not going to get an accurate report on jobless claims for, what, another month? And we talked about this, and they won't release the two states. Now, we did talk to this, and I probably should admit that my memory is failing me when to recall the two states, but we talked about this. I believe one was Colorado, of how they were cutting back on the claims for 1 month as they transitioned into these, and I made mention that you were going to see a drop in these numbers, but they won't be real. So the four-week moving average of claims, that was 321,000, down 7,500 from the prior week, but you also have to remember that it was a four-day week that was applied in there. So,
well, if two states disappear, you can reasonably wonder, is that an accident? Is it a coincidence? Is it intentional? Everyone understands who looks at this that the government is intentionally falsifying numbers, economic numbers, on a regular basis. What's the inflation rate? What's the unemployment rate? You know, can you name a number that is where the government is giving us an honest, are they giving us an honest number? We've got the debt ceiling has been the same. We have been right at the same number now for, I suppose, it's 90, 100 days. I'm not sure how long we've been at it. They just don't change the number. That's all. We're not. They're not breaking the law. Whatever. We just won't post. We won't post the real number. It becomes so blatant. The lying becomes so blatant. It can't be denied. Can't be avoided. It's not even remarkable anymore. It becomes. We regard it as remarkable. You know, if someone would say, "Hey, guess what? Obama just told the truth." And everybody's going, "Oh, no, he did not." Yeah, yeah, I'm not kidding. Obama told the truth about something. Well, that would be news. That would be extraordinary. But nobody really expects that right now. And you have to wonder, why are they so blatant in their lies? Because this goes to the president's credibility, it goes to the government's credibility, it goes to national credibility, it goes to financial credibility. Credibility is all about belief. That's what that's what the word is derived from. The word ultimately credible, that which was credible is believable. And if government sacrifices its credibility with lies, then government is also sacrificing public confidence, which is vital to maintain the financial system, vital to maintain the monetary system, and certainly important and critical to maintain our economy. It has to be sustained with a level of confidence. They are detracting from that confidence with their lies. And they have to know this. This isn't something that I just dream up. And I say they have to understand that they are detracting from their own confidence, from the public confidence in the government and the governmental institutions. They are diminishing it with their lies. Why would they lie? And the answer is, there are two possible answers. One, they're lying because they want the credibility to be diminished, because they want a collapse. Or two, they are so desperate to prevent some sort of a collapse that the only way they can maintain, or they think they can maintain, confidence is by lying. And they're so deep into it now they can't quit. They're addicted to it. How would Obama come out and say, guess what, folks? I have a special meeting tonight, and we're going to tell people what the real inflation rate is. We're going to tell you what the real unemployment rate is. We're going to tell you what the real size of the national debt is. We're going to tell the truth. The public can't deal with it anymore. We are kind of addicted to the lie. And for me, I suspect the reason, the explanation for the lies is desperation. in large measure because the lies are so blatant, they're so obvious. You can't get around them. You know what they're, you know they're lying. They shouldn't do it unless they are desperate, in my opinion.
And they
we're
going to
take a break. Well, they are. I understand they are.
And you know, I mean, you know, it's not going to happen. But you know, there's report that the U.S. could default as early as October 18th and as late as November 5th. I mean, they can't even come down to when they'd really default. I mean, it's like it not only do you have it's like they're incapable. It's like they're so big they can't even.
I understand.
Even,
the thing is so bizarre right now.
It is.
It's no longer believable. No one. The whole thing is unstable to a point
where
no one is really in control. No one really understands. Everybody is just hoping, and I doubt that that's going to save us. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs, prices are down. Good time to buy. 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, before we get into your, we're going to talk about U.S. export prices, how they fell for the sixth straight month. The FDIC, this came out a couple days ago. We just hadn't had a chance to talk about it. The FDIC, I think we mentioned it, approves the final rule and the definition of deposit at foreign branches. The deposits of U.S. foreign branches are not going to be insured by the FDIC.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is so big, and it's just another sign of the trouble
that they're anticipating.
Yes, and people keeping your money in the banks, you're not going to have a chance.
Well, it's certainly suggestive of they're trying to cut bait right now if they possibly can. And what we're talking about is they have redefined, they say they've clarified the definition of funds. that are guaranteed by the FDIC to be only those funds that are deposited within a bank here in the United States. And if the bank has branches in England, for example, or France, or down in Bolivia, right? They have branches of this U.S. bank in a foreign country, those foreign accounts will not be backed by the FDIC. Now, up until now, apparently they were. All right, it was at least believed that they were backed, and now they're saying, "Oh no, we've redefined, and we're not going to back those." Well, it's one of those things where you look and you see it as another leaf in the breeze. And does it prove anything? No. But is it evidence? Yes. Is it just an accident that at this time they just, well, we're not going to back foreign accounts anymore, deposits in foreign accounts? Is that an accident? Or is it evidence that they anticipate a moment is coming? And not 5 years from now, or not even 1 year from now, but perhaps before the end of this year. Do they anticipate that a moment is coming when the FDIC is going to be called on to make good on a large number of bank deposits? And if they are, then they're anticipating. There's going to be a bump in the road, a major bump in the road in the, who knows, the next quarter, maybe the next 2 quarters. I don't know. Now, and I don't know. It may be that it's just a coincidence, but you can't look at this and just ignore it. They have to know how significant their decision to redefine foreign accounts would be. They have to know that it will not inspire confidence in the system, and yet they went ahead and redefined the foreign accounts as uninsured by the FDIC. Why? You can't look at it and suppose that it doesn't signal that the government itself is anticipating serious problems in the near future. And if they are, then you and I should be also, and it's not unreasonable that we would prepare for those kinds of problems.
You know, this reminds me, Al, prior to the mortgage or the housing situation, I think it was like 2006, they changed the bankruptcy laws, and that this is what they do. They change that. They're already beginning to protect themselves. They have been, but I believe this is the next step in order to protect them. And it reminds me the timing and everything right before the major situation. They change things.
Yep. And they do it at the same time.
Yep.
And at the same time, on the one hand, they're lying to us about, well, we're going to have a recovery. The interest rates the inflation rate is only such and such. The unemployment rate is only such and such. The national debt is only such and such. At the same time when they are making preparation for the truth to come out in a way that can't ultimately be denied. They're lying on the one hand, and on the truth side, they're changing the laws against the possibility of a serious problem in this country. You know, it's one of those things, you can judge them according to what they do, or you can judge them according to what they say. If you're going to judge them, it's going to be better to judge them by what they do rather than what they say.
Mm-hmm. And here's just interesting, talking about the banks and foreign holders, and this was actually also dated on Tuesday. Boy, we missed a lot of news yesterday. Shareholders of Cyprus' largest bank have elected 6 Russians to sit on its new 16-member board of directors. There was a vote that puts more foreign nationals on the board of the Bank of Cyprus than ever before. And, of course, we all remember the Cyprus situation. And the significant Russian representation on the board of the bailed-out bank is a consequence of the multi-billion euro financial rescue package that, of course, that Cyprus agreed to. So
it's also a consequence of when they bailed, they used a bail-in at the Cyprus banks.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who had their money there were frequently Russians who were storing their money in the Cyprus banks. And what they received in return for the money that was taken from them for the bail-ins, they received shares in the banks.
Yep.
And now they got together and say, all right, USOBs, you took our money, but now we have enough shares to get 6 Russians on the board of directors.
Yep.
How do you like that?
Yep. Interesting. Yeah, almost 50% of those uninsured savings went into shares. So, so take the money from the people. I mean, it's like, interesting, very interesting. And just a sign of the times and coming to a banking facility near you.
That's true.
Yep.
That's true. And what a lesson is they can come up with one device after another to postpone the inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, fine. We're going to give people shares in the bank. Well, fine. If those shares entitle them to vote, guess what? It's still going to come back to bite you in the buns. You can put off the problem for a while, but there are inherent and structural problems. They won't be easily. They can be postponed, you know. But there is an inevitability in all of this that you look at it and you say, good idea to get prepared. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. What else, Melody?
Well, Americans, their assessment of their current conditions. It says it weakened this month. With declining sentiment.
I'm not sure which one you're reading from right now, Melody. I've got Obama at center stage and recall on the guns and U.S. prices fell for the... All right, I see what you're talking about. Americans' financial difficulties increased sharply. Yeah. It's for the sixth consecutive month. Americans are feeling less affluent. Consumer Reports gauges, they have something called the Trouble Tracker Measure, which gauges consumers' difficulty in paying bills and other negative financial events. And it rose dramatically on their measure from 34.7 to 46 in the last month. Financial troubles surged among lower-income consumers, households earning less than $50,000 a year. You know, it's hard for me to keep up with things sometimes. It wasn't all that long ago. I thought $50,000 a year was probably pretty good pay. And now it's lower income. In any case, it's tough on the lower income people and those completing high school or less, while affluent and college educated people saw little change. Lower income households continued to be disproportionately affected by the economy's crawling recovery. 27% of them reported they were unable to afford medical bills or medications in the past 30 days. That's 11 points higher than the national average. They go on, and all it is, it's just another one of these measures that indicates ordinary people are seeing truth in places where they're seeing a level of truth that defies what we're being told by the government. They're having problems, and although some people will talk about a possible recovery, and the recovery's right around the corner, we don't hear that so much anymore, but low interest rates, no low inflation rates, low national debt, it's all a bunch of malarkey. There's people at the low end. They are like canaries in the coal mine. They are sensing the truth, even if they can't articulate it. They are sensing the truth. It's simply by virtue of their inability to keep up with their bills. We are approaching a more difficult time. And this has been true since 2008, 2009. We have been grinding down a little at a time and a little at a time and a little at a time. It hasn't been a dramatic decline, but there hasn't been a significant improvement. Right? Just gets down a little, then go down a little bit more, and it's being felt most profoundly by people at the low end of the economic spectrum. And again, most of us sit back and say, well, I'm not down there. That's their problem. You know, better them than me. Guess what? It's going to move up. Lower income people, $50,000 a year, they're feeling this problem already. I guarantee. Time is coming when those of us making $100,000 a year, we're going to feel the trouble too. And then the people that are making $250,000. It's going to move up through the system. And
you know, what's interesting now is, you know, I said a lot of times that there's plenty of money in this country. And then you have reports from the Consumer Reports saying that, you know, people are having difficulties paying their bills, which include medical bills and maybe their utility bills and, you know, maybe their credit card bills. But then you look on the other hand and you think that, you know, American poverty just isn't what it used to be. And then you get this new report from the Census Bureau that says that 80% of households considered poverty-stricken, they have their cell phones, they have their landline phones, they have computers, they have all their TVs, they have their cars, they have their DVRs. It's like, they want those things. So is their money really going into those places and they're letting their bills and their medical bills lapse because they know government will pick that up?
I think the reason they have much of the things you're talking about is because government is subsidizing just by means of welfare and unemployment and whatever. They are providing subsidies for the people that are at the lower end of the economic scale. And we've talked about this on the program before. They calculated that the average welfare worker makes something like $12 an hour.
Yeah.
Minimum wage is 7.25, and the average welfare recipient, excuse me, not welfare worker, recipient, is maybe making $12 an hour when you calculate everything that's available to them in terms of subsidies and food stamps and so on. Well, they're getting by. They're oiling the water. They are keeping the lower classes calm by giving them enough money to be quiet. Please be quiet and take your problems someplace else. Don't riot in the streets. Don't burn anything down. That's essentially what's being done. But where's the money coming from? The money to support the people who don't have jobs has to come from the people who do. And in the end, it merely means we are going to take people who still have jobs and put them into poverty in order to support people who don't have jobs. This is a foolishness. It cannot work in the long run. There has to be a day of reckoning, and whether it's going to be, we don't know, but it is more likely to be before the end of this year than it is to be before the end of 2018. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen this year. I'm just saying it's more likely to be close than it is to be far. But where? I don't know. And it could happen at any moment. That's one of the interesting things about it. And it's also one of the reasons why you want to be prepared. You want to have your food, your rifle, your guns, your ammunition. You want to have your gold. You want to have your silver. Just because we are in unstable times. Interesting times. We're in interesting times. And some people don't want to be interested. It was Melody was talking about earlier in the program. Some people don't want to hear about it. Don't tell me about it. I don't want to know what's going on. Don't burst my bubble. Well, all right, I'm not going to burst your bubble. You know, if you don't listen to the program, I won't burst your bubble. But if you do listen to the program, we're going to try to warn you that there is a problem here. We're in the position of people that are on the Titanic. And we're warning you that we are moving a little too fast through water that has icebergs dead ahead. And a lot of people are saying, oh, this is the Titanic. It can't possibly sink. When we're sitting there saying, wait a second, I think maybe it can. I think it'd be a good idea. Get hold of your life preservers. If you want to do that, give Melody a call, 1-800-375-4188. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We're out of time for today. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, if good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.